Someone said this, that we show people the best side of us and people think the worst of us. And God knows the worst of us, but he thinks the best of us. Isn't that amazing? You ever show people the best side of you and they still think the worst of you? And God knows the worst of us. The things that people don't know about us. The secret places, the secret things that we have done and get up to. And yet he thinks the best of us. I want to start a new series this morning called Running on Empty. You know, there's many people in the world that are running on empty, trying to find that last glimmer of hope, trying to find that extra bit of strength to go on, trying to find that piece of confidence to step up to, trying to find that element of vision that they can give their lives to, the cause that they can surrender their lives to. People are longing to be filled, to be satisfied, to be reaching their potential. If you don't put fuel in the tank in your car, you will end up not going very far. Isn't that correct? And it's the same with our lives. If you don't keep your eyes keenly on the gauges of the dashboard of your life, you will run out of fuel and you will get stuck somewhere in life. Today I want to give you the first reason why we should not run or try to run our lives on empty. Some of us are like that gauge that's just near that red zone of the car. Man, if I go any further, this is going to conk out. If I go any further, I'm going to just break down somewhere. Some of us are, you know, half tank. You know, and it's good to have a half tank because it's better than being near the red gauge, isn't it? At least you know you're going to go somewhere. You're going to get part of your journey, part of your where your destination. But I believe Jesus said this, that I want you to live life to the full. So I'm like, well, Lord, there's times when we're in seasons, we're ups and downs, and we're all over the place, and times when we're in the pits, and times when we're on the mountaintops. But Jesus says, look, I've come so you may live life to its fullest. So I'm asking Jesus in these days, I'm asking myself, am I living to the full? Or am I living near the empty section? Or even midsection? I don't want us to run on empty, and here's the reason. Because if we run on empty, if we settle for near empty, if we have no movement in our lives because of emptiness, we will not fulfill our potential in God. You will not fulfill your potential in life. You will not reach the mark that God has mapped out for each one of us. Don't run on empty because you will not reach your potential. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Philippians is one of those great, joyful books of the Bible. Paul was in prison when he wrote it, and yet he wrote incredible statements that will rock your world if you would read through that book. He's in prison and he's telling the Christians to rejoice. He's the one locked up with two armed guards beside him and he's telling us to rejoice. Don't you love it? Where did he find that strength? Where did he find that joy? Where did he find that ability to keep on going? Was he living life at the empty stage or the empty part of the fuel tank? I don't think so. You're right, Gail. No, he wasn't. But he was beaten up. He was starved. He was thrown over into the sea. He was flogged. Every city he went, he spilled blood in. And he says, rejoice. My goodness, I want whatever he has. And I believe so do you. Don't go on empty because you will not fulfill your potential. Potential is powerful. Amen. Paul says in 1 Philippians 1:21, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart from this world and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in this body. Paul says he had this struggle going on within him. He longed just to pop the clogs, kick the bucket, die, whatever terminology you want on it. He says, I'm torn between, I want to go and be with Christ Jesus. He had no fear of death. He looked death in the eye. I have no fear of death because I know death is a doorway into being with Jesus Christ. I know what death is. I know what it holds. And it doesn't hold fear for me. And I'm torn. Do I want to go? Or do I want to stay? Now that's a song waiting to be written. Should I stay or should I? He wrote it many years ago. I'm torn. Stay or go, stay or go. Be with Jesus forever. Not knowing anymore sin, not knowing anymore addiction, not knowing anymore beatings, not knowing anymore sickness, not knowing anymore tears. Should I go? That's what's all there for me. But he said, it's better if I stay with you. Why did Paul choose to stay? Why was his decision in his heart? It is better that I stay with you. I tell you why. Because he knew he had not yet fulfilled his potential. He knew he had not finished the job that he was sent to do. He knew he had more people to reach, more books to write, more places to go, and more sermons to preach. He knew. That's why he stayed. He says, no, it's better that I stay because God has locked something up inside of me, which is called potential. And I'm not going anywhere till I get it all out of me. Potential was deposited into your life, into Paul's life, and into my life like our DNA. God has put something in each of you, in each of us, just as the color of our eyes is part of our DNA, so is the potential that God has for you. You possess true potential. You possess something that God has put into you. It's just waiting for something to happen in you and through you. Imagine this, the creator of the universe was thinking, this is what the Bible teaches, was thinking of you and me when he spoke this world into existence. When he spoke, your name was in his mind. Where you were going to live, what century, what year, what community you were going to live in was in God's mind. He had a specific reason for the time that you would exist on earth at this particular time. He's got a job for you to do. Remarkable, isn't it? That the creator of the universe has something for you and me to live, to do. I can't believe, me and Sharon's been talking all this week about like stuff. I can't believe that God created me just to accumulate stuff. I'm looking at my stuff and I'm like, that's not what my life is. That's not what I've been put on earth, is to accumulate stuff. Because the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to look after, isn't it? And the more stuff you have, the more stuff you protect. Surely God has put something of potential in us that's more than just gathering stuff. He's planned something for us way before we were even born. That's true potential. Your potential has been waiting for you to come along ever since you were conceived. It's been waiting since the universe was conceived in the mind of God. That potential, the plan, the purpose, the task was in the Creator's mind specifically for you. Can you accept that this morning? It was specifically for you. Anything less than pursuing your potential of your life is a tragic situation. Here's a definition of what potential is. Potential is dormant ability. Potential is reserve power, untapped strength. Unused success. Potential is hidden talent. Capped capability. Potential is all you can be but you've not yet become. It's all you can do but yet you've not done yet. Potential is how far you can reach but you've not reached it yet. Potential is what you can accomplish but you've not accomplished it quite right now. Potential is not what you've already done. But it's what you're able to do. It's not what you've done in life or achieved in life, because that's no longer potential. Potential is that hidden thing inside of you. It's that thing that God has put inside of you that is invisible right now. And God searches our lives for the invisible deal that he has put inside of us to bring it out to the visible. And when you get it out into the visible, there's another part of God's potential that he searches for to bring it to the fore so that he can bring it to the people. And we must decide today. We must decide that we will not allow our lives to be robbed of this valuable, powerful, untapped resource that God has locked away inside of each of us. Potential has no retirement plan. Potential is always there. And when that comes to the fore, there's something else. To use a simple analogy for potential, but yet powerful from nature. If I had a seed in my hand and asked you, what is this? The obvious answer would be, it's a seed. It's a seed. But what's inside of the seed? There's a tree. And when that tree grows and has fruits, in the fruits there's another seed. And in them seeds there's more trees. So the fact would be, it is a seed. But the truth would be that inside that seed is a potential forest. And what's inside of you is a seed that God has put in each one of us that the potential of could be absolutely incredible. God created everything with potential. Every single thing that he's created has potential. And when we settle for this is my lot in life, when we settle for that's the way just things are, we are tying down the potential that God has put in us. When we say, God, I open myself up to the unlimited possibilities of the seed that you've placed in me. Do you ever get to that place in your life? Maybe it's because I'm 42 or something. I don't know. But I was like this when I was a teenager. I was born for something. For something more than I see around me. And like I thought that would have passed when I was a teenager. But I'm 42, I've done okay, but I'm still, no, this is not it. Because God is continually unlocking the potential that is within us if we're open to him. Too often, we give up too soon on the potential that's in us. Too often, we let it go. Too often, people are buried with the potential that is inside of them. I was thinking, what if Shakespeare would have given up on this potential? We would never have having the great literature. It would have been buried with him in some graveyard. What if Michelangelo would have given up? We wouldn't have having the beautiful paintings and great work of the Sistine Chapel. It would have been buried with him. The Mona Lisa. Great footballers. Great artists, great literature, great musicians, great poets, great writers, great inventors. If they would have given up too soon on their potential, we would have never have known what it is that was locked up inside of them. The graveyard is full of unfulfilled potential. I was thinking why there's such an onslaught against our young people. The amount of young people that kill themselves. The amount of young people that sell themselves short. The amount of young people that commit suicide. I wonder what's locked up inside of them. What potential has God got within? What leader is waiting to emerge from those young people that seems to have been given themselves over? What leaders, what musicians, what's to be written by these men and women? What inventions have to come out of them? What's being buried up in the cemeteries? The potential of young people, of men and women reaching other men and women with the gospel. Don't die with your potential. The enemy, and there is an enemy for all of our visitors and those who read the Bible. Jesus says there's an enemy. He says in the Old Testament there's an enemy. His name is Satan, the devil. And he hates God's potential in each one of us. He wants to kill it off at the beginning. He doesn't want to wait till you grow strong. He doesn't want to wait till you start believing, my goodness, God has something for me. He wants to kill it off with doubts and fears at the beginning. Worse, when Moses was born, Pharaoh, who was the enemy of God's people in Exodus, he says, kill all of the children. Kill all of those boys that are 1 year and under. Because he wanted to kill off the potential that a deliverer was going to rise up from the people of God. And he was going to deliver, God's people out of the bondage of Egypt. And he says, kill it off now. That's why discouragement comes in so early for you as a Christian. That's why you see sometimes the greatest disasters come in when you're walking close with God. That's why people don't even know it, but that's why things come against you. People come against you because the enemy wants to kill it off. The potential, the seed, the DNA that is inside of you. Protect it. Mind it. Cherish it. Don't think it's willy-nilly and, oh yeah, God's called. God has a plan. God has got a plan and the devil has a plan. And that is to rip you off. Pull you down. Destroy the potential that is within you. Jesus, when he was a baby, and Herod heard the king was being born at that time, he says, kill all the babies. Kill every one of the babies because this Messiah is not going to grow up on my watch. This Messiah is not going to grow up while I'm here because I am the boss. Killing off potential early. Many things has robbed me and many things has robbed you of the potential that is within us. But to die with our potential is irresponsible to mankind. It's irresponsible to our community, our families. And I want to encourage us today to open our lives up to the potentials that God has for each one of us. The Lord has packaged something in you for the good of others. Use it. You may not have been encouraged by others. You may not have presented it well. You may not have looked at yourself and you may have looked at yourself and says, no way, I'm not going to fulfill this. I'm not going to do this. People don't even like me. People think I'm just like out there. People won't listen to me. People won't do this. Don't listen to all of it. Say, I want a chance, Lord, to fulfill the potential that is within me. You know, some days television throws up incredible television. Just, you look at telly sometimes and you go, well, I go anyway. Wow, that's good television. Times when you're moved, you're stirred in loads of different ways, whether it's watching the news and you see some kids in far off countries or in their own country and there's something in you moved. I can do something about that. That's your potential speaking to you. The deep things of God, the deep things of the world calling out you. I want to make a difference. I want to go to Africa. I want to feed those kids. I want to put a roof on the buildings in Belarus. I want to hold the orphans. Do you ever get that in you? Or there's an injustice done and something in you is like, if I was only there, me and liberty would take that place.
Noah, don't give up. Even when people don't see it in you, even when you don't present it out well, there's something inside of you like was in that woman, Suzanne Boyle, that was in there. And when she got her platform, it came out. Don't die with your potential because you have something inside of you that others need. Don't go to the graveyard with what God has put in you. What you have inside of you, I need it. Don't you die with what I need inside of you. Don't you die with what this city, this community has, needs inside of you. Don't just die with your potential. Someone needs to hear your song. Someone needs to hear your story. Someone needs to know of your caring character, your arms reaching out. Don't you dare die. Don't you dare die without reaching your potential. My grandchildren need what's inside of you. Amen, Patrice. Your neighbor right next to you, their children, grandchildren, need what you have inside of you. Please do not die with what God has locked up inside of you. I believe that there's books to be written by you. There's great artwork to come from you. Ha!
There's business ideas, there's poems, inventions, there's leadership to come out of you. There's ideas and strategies for reaching people, caring for people. There's new ideas for church. There's worship songs to come out of you. There's investments that you have to make that the Lord has intended for you to make on behalf of my grandchildren, my community, my city, my nation, your children, your community, your city, your nation, and even the nations. Do not die. Paul wanted to go. He says, I'm full of life. I'm full of it. Rejoice. And I say it again, rejoice greatly in the Lord. He says, I want to go. But I'm not going until I fulfill what God has locked up inside of me. We would have never had an Ephesians if he went. We would have never had books like Colossians if he went. The miracles that he brought into people's lives would not have been brought if Paul said, I'm gone now. When I'm gone, I'll go when I'm ready, and when I'm ready, I will go emptied. And listen to what he says to Timothy. He says, when I go, I'm going to be ready. And he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6, he says, Timothy, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. He's seen his life as like a drink before God. And all of his potential was being poured out for people. He says, and the time has come for my departure. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who long for his appearance. He says in Philippians, he says, I'm going to stay. I want to go. And then when he gets to Timothy, years later in his life, he says, I've fulfilled it all. I've run my race. I've been poured out everything, good thing that God has in me. I've been poured out upon people, upon the establishing of the church, upon the establishing of good teaching and sound doctrine. He says, now I'm ready to go. You could sum it all up. Paul says, I'm out here. I fulfilled my potential. When they bury me, there's going to be nothing left in me because I fulfilled it all. I want that in my headstone. I want that. He died emptied. Not with loads of stuff. Not with loads of ideas locked up inside of me. Not with loads of potential. He died empty. He was like an empty bucket going to the grave. He knew he was not going to die with anything left in him. The potential of God. Do you know one of my heroes is Mother Teresa? Someone says to her, there's a billion starving people, poor people in the world. How are you going to love them? See, Mother Teresa, she started off in Albania. She came to India to work. She worked in this college for rich kids. There was something going on in the city. There wasn't enough food. And she had to come out from behind the walls to get to where the food was. She goes out when she sees the poorest of the poorest. And you see the poorest of these were people that if you had a piece of bread eating it, there was poor people behind the people with the little bit of bread waiting on a crumb to fall. That's what she's saying. It wasn't just our poor people. These were people that were waiting for crumbs to fall off someone else's crust of bread. And the potential of God rose up in her. I'm not meant to be behind the walls. I'm meant to be out here with the poorest of the poorest. And he says to her, how are you going to feed and love a billion poor people? She says, one at a time. One at a time. I'm going to love them one at a time. Feed them one at a time. Why do you do this, Mother Teresa? She says, when I look in the eyes of a poor person, I see the mark of my Savior on their lives. What an incredible woman. Jesus said, if you give to the least of one of these, you give it to me. She was saying, when you give that bit of bread, I'm giving it to Jesus. When you put money in next week to the offering for Belarus, you're giving it to Jesus. When you put it in for the furtherance of the church and the kingdom, you're giving it to Jesus. Jesus, for the release of this, there's people here with the potential to love the poorest of the poorest, to feed the poorest of the poorest, There's people here with the potential to reach out and to gather in a people that you've not even dreamt of yet, but it's in your DNA. It's in this seed that I'm only one little person. No, the seed of God has a forest in it. The seed of God has a crowd in it. The seed of God has one individual in it that you may reach out, that you may touch, and the seed of God in them and the DNA in them may reach millions, may reach, but that you just fulfill your potential and live life to the full along the way. Evangelist Tony Campolo, a man from, heard him speak here years and years ago. He tells a story when he was in a foreign country. I want to say it was something like Bangkok or Haiti. And he's walking along the road and these three young girls came over to him. And one of them says, "Mister, you want to buy me for $10? You can have sex with me all night." Tony Campolo looked at her. She was 12, 13, 14 years of age. He said to the next one, "What about you?" She says, "Me $10 too." Says to the third one, "And what about you?" He said she looked at him with a smile, trying to look sexy. But he said it's hard to look sexy when you're starving and you're selling your body to feed your family. She goes, $10 too. He says, "This is my hotel number. Meet me there." He goes back to his hotel. He rings down to the lobby and he says, "Have you got any Walt Disney movies?" He says, "We have stacks of them." He says, "I want them all up to my room." He says, "Do you make banana splits?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I want the biggest banana splits you could ever make. Loads of ice cream, loads of chocolate on top, cherries, sprinkles, sparklers coming out of them." He says, "I want four of them." The girls arrive. And he sits them on the sofa. And they watch Walt Disney movies all night, eating their ice cream. He says he was sitting on the sofa. They were lying on the bed. He'd fallen asleep. And he says, "Lord, is there a difference?" So they watched a couple of movies. So, Lord, he had ate some ice cream. He says, "Lord, tomorrow they're going to be back out there selling their bodies. Is this a difference?" He says, God spoke to him, like audibly. He says, "Tony, there is a difference. For one night, you gave them back their childhood. For one night, you gave them back their childhood." Can I tell you, there's potential in this room to give people back their childhoods. People have been robbed from addiction, brokenness, abuse. People that hate themselves. The potential in here is to give women back their lives, to give women back their childhood, their dignity, to give men back their honor and their respect. The potential of God that is in each one of us can absolutely revolutionize the lives of young people. There's potential here to start new businesses. Potential here to open women's homes, men's homes, orphanages. There's potential here to give back. What God has put inside of you will be a blessing to other people. Amen. Some here have potential to reach businessmen, doctors, the wealthy. Live your potential. Say, "No, little me." I said that 20 years ago, and look at you. I said I sin in a flattened dolphin house. Big God, little me. God, yeah, I can do a lot with a little me. Mandela says, we're not afraid of failure. We're afraid of success. We're not afraid of being in the muck. We're afraid of sitting on a throne. And God's potential, if he's called you to sit on a throne, well, don't play down and be in the muck. And if he's called you to be in the muck, don't play it down and be on a throne. Whatever he's called you to do, just say yes to him. And then finishing. Give her all to Jesus this morning. I'd finished this sermon and I was brushing my teeth coming out this morning. And the Lord says, "You know what? No, some people have gone off the boil on their potential. Some people have just gone off the boil." I don't know where the terminology would have been in my head other than it would be God. It's just that dream that you had, that passion. The potential you knew, the written, you knew some of the writing on the seed of your DNA. You were living it, but you just gone off the boil. Just turned the gas down a little bit. I just believe God wants to just turn the heat back up for you. Just, and it's just a yes, Lord. It's just like, yes, Lord, here I am. The little boy that was going out with his lunch that morning, a couple of loaves and fishes. He didn't know the potential that was in his life to feed 5,000. But it was in his life. He brought his little lunch to hear Jesus speak. And the disciples came home and he says, the master wants your lunch. Maybe they didn't see the potential in it, but somehow he did. And he goes, okay, I'm giving it to Jesus. And I love the mathematics of God. 2 loaves and 5 fishes equals 7. In God's hands, 2 loaves and 5 fishes equals 5,000 fed and 12 baskets left over. Isn't it amazing? In God's economy, it's 5,000 plus. In our economy, it's little me on my few loaves and fishes. Give it to him. Turn out the boil to be turned back up. Here's another one the Lord put in my heart this morning. In Galatians, Galatians was flying along with the potential of God. And someone cut in on them. Someone came in and brought another message. Someone brought another doctrine. Someone brought another teaching. And it got them so far off the track that when Paul wrote to them, he says, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? It was like their minds were taken over by false teaching. You've had this potential, you start off in the spirit, and you're back in the flesh again. Reject anything other than that says, know Jesus and love people. Anything else, you can put aside. Anything that has come in, that has bewitched you, taking you off the track, come back into the track. This day in Jesus' name. Give her all to Jesus.